You're listening to the Coffee Hour with Sarah
and Andy. We're back in the studio and talking all things Concordia.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, we are. And I'm pretty excited because we have the president of a Concordia in studio today.
Absolutely. Our alma mater as well.
Our alma mater, yes. The Reverend Dr. Daniel Gard is in studio with us today. Hello.
I'm doing great. How are you?
we're doing good.
You're mesmerized.
I know. I'm like starstruck here.
Oh, I don't know why that would be. But...
So we're talking Concordia and about you and how you ended up at Concordia. So how did you end up at Concordia? What was your journey to get there?
Oh, it was not a planned journey.
As many of them are.
It was not. No. I tell the story, and it's true, that when I finally went to seminary, and I told the Lord I would do this, but here were my conditions.
That always works well, doesn't
yeah,
it?
I was going to be a celibate country preacher. Very happy. I just want a little country church and books to read and small flock to take care of from baptism to the grave. It was going to be ideal.
Sounds like a nice plan.
It was a great plan, and then I met Annette. So the celibacy part went out, fell in love, and I've been blessed to have her as my wife. We'll be 36 years this summer.
Wow.
But at the time, I was still going to be a country preacher, and so she thought that's what she was marrying at the end of my second year of seminary. And after seminary, I wound up just kind of fell into graduate school. And one day I came home middle of that and said, I think I'd like to do a little time with the Navy. She said, how long? And I said, well, 4 years. Okay, we'll talk about it. So she agreed to 4 years.
How long ago was that?
That was in 1988. And I was serving a parish at the time. Country church, small country church. I was just thrilled to be there. A year later, I wound up teaching at the seminary. Quite unexpectedly, I got a call, and they asked me if I would consider being called there. And I thought, sure, you guys have somebody else you really want. You just have a second name on the list. And so I was called to the seminary, and so I began my academic career with that about the same time with the Navy. And that just has been a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I had to leave my dream of being a country preacher to teach at the seminary, and I had never planned to do the things I did in the Navy. I explained to my wife when I retired after 28 years with the Navy instead of being in for 4 years that she married a theologian, not a mathematician. But I've had a faithful wife who has supported me and loved me and made it all very possible. I did not plan to leave the seminary ever. I had always said I will be here till I die. And when I was called to the university, it was absolute shock because I was prepared to call whoever got the call and encourage that brother to take this call. It's a great place. You got to go there. And they knew I would do that, and so they started calling me.
Whoops.
Yes. And but I knew once I went back up to visit again after having received the call, as soon as I walked on the campus, I just knew I needed to be there. I can't explain it other than to say you just know. And seminary students would often ask, how do you know if you're supposed to accept a call? I said, I don't know. I said, I just do know this, that you will know. And if you know it, you do it. So there I am, 4 years later.
Your experience, tell us about your service as Rear Admiral in the U.S. Navy, what that experience was like, and how that helps you in your current position.
Yeah, well, that was another bit of a surprise. God tends to have a lot of surprises in our lives, I found. Again, I was going to do that for 4 years, and I was in for 10 before I realized I forgot to get out, and I was really having so much fun. I got to do so many different things as a Navy chaplain. It's a ministry I just really, truly encourage young pastors to consider. There's a lot of risk involved. It's a lot of sacrifice on the part of your family. But there are all these young people many of whom have no idea what a pastor is. They've never met one. And you get to come into their lives and bring Christ. You go with them wherever they go. I've been to places that I'd just as soon never have gone. And I'm grateful for that experience because I was able to go and to pray with and to walk alongside of and share everything, including the risk, with the sailors and Marines I was privileged to serve. The whole Rear Admiral thing was also a surprise. I was serving my last mobilization deployment for almost a year, but I was down in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba in 2012 and 2013, which was the very first overseas assignment I had when I first joined the Navy, and it was turned out to be my last one. So kind of bookends. It's like my first job out of college was in Chicago, and now, at least unless God has other plans, my last job is in Chicago, so Chicago's bookend my working life, and the Guantanamo Bay, Cuba bookend my Navy career. But when I was down there, I was working at the detention facility, which was a very interesting experience, and it was being a Caribbean prison chaplain was about as far from being a celibate country preacher as I can imagine. But there I was, and the phone rang, and it was an admiral from D.C. informing me that I had been selected for admiral. What? What I told this admiral was, you've got to be kidding me. And she gave me permission then to call my wife and let my wife know, because it was all secret until it was publicized. And I said, well, what did you say? I said, you've got to be kidding me. She said, you told a 3-star admiral, you've got to be kidding me. I said, yeah, I did. So I returned, and my last tours then, I had to finish up a tour as the deputy chaplain of the Marine Corps. And then a few months later, I moved over back to the Navy side and became the deputy chief of chaplains for reserve matters. And that was my last 3 years with the Navy. It's a 3-year job, and then you have to retire. But I'd actually planned to retire when I left Cuba. That was my plan. I'm just done. But I agreed to do this. So I did it for 3 years. And it's just truly a blessing to be able to bring Jesus Christ out to people, wherever they might be, to our Marines and sailors and their families, mm-hmm. who are the real heroes in all this, as my wife and my children have been for me. Marvelous ministry.
How does that translate to your work today at Concordia University Chicago? How has that helped you for this work?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I think most foundationally for me has been this. Let me give you an example. When I, in 2001, when the Pentagon was hit on September 11th, I was sent immediately to the Pentagon where I worked at the crash site and then with the families of the victims. And it was like a lifetime of grief ministry compressed into that period of time. And people would ask, well, how were you prepared to do something like that? And I realized then it was because of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne where I studied. Nobody ever knew about anything like that or thought they were preparing you for that. But the foundation, God's Word foundation in his sacramental life, the foundation in the reality of who you are as a baptized child of God really makes all the difference. I think with the transition from Navy Admiral to University President, for 2 years I did both simultaneously, which was not exactly what a sane person tries to do. I think principles with the foundation of your theological identity, then having these other pieces that you can draw from things like leadership theories and stuff and filter them through the Word of God, because there's some very good things. And there's also some stuff that, frankly, contradict who you are at your heart. As an admiral, I always had basic principles. I would not allow a sailor to carry my bags. I did not eat first. I made sure my sailors ate first. I preferred the title chaplain to admiral. And I still do. Yet this morning I preached at a Lutheran high school and they asked me what my rank was. And I had to tell them, I said, but I really preferred the title chaplain, because it's all about the relationship to people. I think working in that kind of environment, and my job, last job with the Navy, last two jobs with the Navy were actually in the Pentagon itself. another place I'm hoping I do not spend any more time, although I love the people that are there. It's big, and it's very businesslike. But to be able to be a pastor to the people who serve our country in that context, and to be able to walk into offices, and once they got beyond the fact that I was wearing a star as an admiral, they could relax a little when they realized I was a chaplain, and to be able to share their lives. And a lot of that, I think, I've tried to translate over into my work at the university, remembering why I'm there. And it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. There are much better people came before me in this office. Others that were considered, I think, are much better qualified. I'm sure my successor will be an amazing person. Somehow I'm there for now, but I'm only there for now. It was there before I got there. It will be there after I'm gone. And I have the privilege of being the steward of God's gifts. And the real gifts of a university are not the buildings and all those things, although the Lord truly has blessed us in the last couple of years with some amazing advancements at the university. The real blessing of God are the people that are there. Faculty who serve every day, staff who serve every day, but above all, those amazing students that we have. I love these young people, and I look at their faces, and I see the future. I talked to, I think next week, yeah, we're going to have all the Director of Christian Education students over to our house for dinner. We do this. We have these groups of students come through. And I get to work with these young kids. And I look at them, and I realize, when I'm around the throne of heaven, these kids are going to be out in the church proclaiming Jesus Christ, making a difference in this world. And just as I've received the gifts from generations who went before me, now I get to pass them on to this generation, so that the work of Christ never, ever stops. And we all get to be a part of that. And all of that, with the Navy, the same kind of thing. Many served in that uniform before I did. Many are serving today. And because of them, we're safe. We're protected. And I got to be a part of that. But it's only for a while. Like having KFUO. Somebody down the road, 50 years from now, will be doing this. You're a steward of God's mysteries and God's good gifts here at KFUO right now.
Thanks be to God.
Absolutely.
Well, that wraps up our time together. Dr. Gard, thank you so much for being our guest here on the Coffee Hour.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.